he's doing.
Southgate doesn't know what he's doing.
Foreign language.
Trent midfielders.
Squad.
Everyone different.
Southgate doesn't know what he's doing.
Southgate doesn't know what he's doing.
Save with passing.
King just gassing.
He's got a good.
No one attacking.
Gareth Southgate is the kind of guy who wears a helmet.
Final day of the group stage in the European Championship. And Copa America is entering the same phase. We're getting into the middle of the group stage with them, and we'll have this weekend some of the final matches. And we'll know who's playing who in the quarters there and who is playing who in the round of 16. So to be fully transparent, as we're recording this, Belgium's group just wrapped up. Romania, Belgium, Slovakia, and Ukraine all finished with 4 points. So the group is decided on goal differential and plus minus. So it looks like Ukraine, not only are they suffering a blow at home on the home front, but also they suffer, even though they scored as many, they attained as many points as the group winners, it looks like they are in fact going to be ousted from the tournament. So sad for them. If they could have minimized the goals that they conceded against Romania, they might be singing a different tune, but was not to be. Belgium slips by the skin of their teeth in just incredibly underwhelming fashion. So, Nick, we have a lot of disappointments in this, or a lot of surprises. You can look at it as a disappointment or a surprise. France disappointing, England disappointing, but also a surprise. England win the group somehow, some way. France advances, even though they have a 1-1 draw with last place Poland. People are saying France sucks. Italy scrapes by 90th plus 8. You think that they are done. They're out. Italy always, always look just like total crap in the group stage. And then they'll nil-nil their way to the final. Penalties, shootouts, whatever they have to do to win. So let's dive into this, because there's a lot to talk about since the last time we spoke Saturday morning. A lot has happened, and the round of 16 is looking very clear. So let's talk about what did you see this past week that just kind of blew your mind? You know, you and I talked yesterday about England extensively, and let's look at it like this. So we both predicted they would get 9 points. They get 5. We never had, in our wildest dreams, imagined that 5 points would win that group. It did. So I ask you this question to start this off with, because England is always going to be the conversation du jour because of who they are, what they are, and what they haven't done the past 50 plus years. So the goal for Southgate was to win the group, correct or not correct?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the goal is to win Euros, but the goal for
let's say first step first, right? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The first step to winning the European Championship is to win your group, right?
Sure. Yeah.
He did that. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Somehow he did it. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me why England are going to win the Euros. How are they going to get there? What's going to happen?
I mean, I wouldn't take England to win the Euros. If you're asking what they need to do to win it.
Yes. That's what
it would be change some things. Phil Foden's not playing at all. Apparently, I found out today, I guess he had a baby or something, that he wasn't there for the birth, and now they're now saying mentally he's not in the tournament. They're making up excuses. Phil's not playing. They made a substitution at halftime. They looked a little bit more lively in the second half, but that doesn't mean anything. They still couldn't score. They brought in Menyu from United, the 18, 19-year-old over Conor Gallagher, and still looked flat. I think if I wanted to pick what they need to do, it would be absolutely completely change probably a lot of the formation. I think something's wrong with Kane too, man. He looks tired. Watching him yesterday, he looked like he just wasn't in it. He looked sluggish, looked tired. I honestly think putting someone else on, or maybe getting him off the pitch if he looks like that, would help. Bring on somebody like Ivan Toney who wants to actually play, or Ollie Watkins, and then putting Phil where he's supposed to be and changing some things up, man. I mean, what I've seen, especially yesterday, was just horrific football, and I'm not the only one who thinks this, and you are with me in this. Yes. It's just bad.
Man. There's about 15 minutes per game where England looked pretty good, yeah. And that's not necessarily consecutive 15 minutes. It could be 5 here and then 15 not, and then 5 more. Let's analyze this real quick, okay? So we criticize the starting 11 itself is wrong because you have players playing out of position. Trent and Foden come to mind with that. The wrong substitutions are made. So when a player's playing well, they come off and they put someone else in that basically doesn't do anything. And then you're looking at players that are just, they tear it up for their club and for country. They're disconnected, like you said, with Kane. Now, my question, when you talk about Harry Kane, you say he looks tired. I mean, do you think that there is, I mean, because you can't really make this excuse, I guess, because of all of them. I mean, if you really want to think about it, all these players, I mean, Phil, Trent, all of them played European campaigns to the very end. Like I was going to say, Kane, you know, was fighting to keep Bayern in the Champions League. And I mean, I don't know if, you know, like he was playing well into May, you know, to try and do that. I don't know. Like, I don't think you can make that excuse because, you know, Saka played deep into things with the season. He had to keep, you know, Arsenal afloat to try and steal one from City. Foden played till the end. I mean, all these guys played deep campaigns. So, I mean, you can't just say that Kane gets an excuse because of, you know, campaign fatigue, because everyone was playing 50, 60 games this season. You know, all these players, Liverpool, Arsenal, Bayern, City, you know, even United, Manu, you mentioned him. Yeah. You know, they played in the FA Cup final. I mean, that was end of May, right? That was the
last match.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not, I mean, it's just interesting to me. We talk about this. It's ad nauseum, man. It's such a revolving record that keeps playing over again about Beckham and Gerrard and Lampard and Keane and Rooney and, you know, who else do you want to throw in there? Tim Crouch, you know, Andy Carroll, who all these players that you know, like from years past that were on these teams, and England's always talked about as being this talented team, and they are just, you know, I remember, you know, 2014, it was Daniel Sturridge and that generation, Raheem Sterling, and Rooney was still playing for him at that point, and they just, it never amounts to anything, you know. It just, then what is the, what, how is this possible for this many decades? I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not a lack of talent, and this is possibly one of the most talented teams England's ever had. And it's just amazing to me how, and it's such a running joke, is how these players can play so well in the Premier League, and then for, when they put on the Three Lions kit, it just all goes to crap. I just don't. What's the disconnect?
Yeah, it makes no sense. You, on paper, everyone was talking about them. I mean, the books even had them as the odds out favorite. I mean, I give my buddy a shout out to you. I give him a little bit of cash to put on a team. I say, hey man, put this money on a team. I know you don't know anything. He's just out in the world. He doesn't follow it like we do. And I'm like, pick someone to win. He puts his money on Spain. He knew nothing. He just looked at odds and took them. Now it looks like he made a decent pick, because England as the favorite looked absolutely lost, man. And it's just insane how you can put such a good talented side with some of the best players in the world together, and they can just be bum fumbling it versus Slovenia. I mean,
I was going to say, have you ever seen a group winner look more
lost?
look poorer than England has? And then I would give you Exhibit A, that Romania just topped that by winning a group of 4 points.
Yeah.
So I before I can even ask you the question, it's already answered. But let's just assume this was an hour ago.
Yeah.
And Romania was still playing. Yeah. Have you, I mean, yes, England is undefeated. No one has beaten them, but they also have one win in 3 matches. And that win was extremely uninspiring.
Yeah.
They have 2 goals in 3 games, right?
Yes.
They're not even averaging 1 goal per game. Now, the other side of that is they're not conceding very much either.
Nope.
But they just don't look good. They don't look fluid. They don't look cohesive. They don't look like a unit at all. It just looks jumbled and, yeah, discombobulated. And it's like, you know, throw stuff at the wall and hope it sticks. It's just, it's there's no fluidity or pretty beautifulness or whatever. Yeah. There's nothing to their game. It's just a heap of crap. And it's somehow they either draw 1-1 or 0-0 or somehow they squeak out a 1-0 win. And I, you know, we'll talk about France. France is doing the same thing. I mean, they're, you know, we joke about Mbappe all the time. It's like, you know, I was hating on him big time yesterday. And look, you know, I'm not going to hide the fact that I think, you know, he's mostly a choke artist and, you know, you'll throw the World Cup thing. But I'm like, you know, 2018, yeah, that was also 6 years ago. And look how many times he's failed for PSG at everything. I mean, you know, we've already said many times on this show that French titles don't count. Coup de France don't count. So what have you done for me lately? I mean, look how much help he had, you know, Marquinhos, and he had Messi and Neymar. And I'm sure that like Draxler was still there when Mbappe got there, and you had, I mean, who all was there? I mean, at one point he had Genie Wijnaldum. That didn't work out. And I mean, just a host of talents. What's his name? What was the guy's name? The Italian midfielder.
Oh, Verratti.
Verratti.
Look,
man, PSG's had everybody come in and play for him. I think Zlatan was gone when Killian got there.
Yeah, he was gone.
But he's, yeah, I mean, what's his name was there though, right?
Cavani left too.
Cavani left too, yeah, thank you. Okay. Dembele, he's got Ousmane Dembele now.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Anyways, this is not about PSG. But France is also underachieving. It's not, you know, 4 points is not going, or no, they have five. Sorry, 5 points is not going unnoticed. That, once again, no defeats, but two draws and a win. So England and France, is it safe to say that those are the two most disappointing sides? Or would you, I mean, I honestly throw Belgium in there too, because they actually lost a match to someone that they had no business losing to. So some of these powerhouses, man, are not performing so well. Italy, want to throw Italy in there, or just Italy does what Italy does?
Yeah, I mean, Italy not qualifying for the last two World Cups. I don't know. It's hard to, before the Euros, we didn't rate them very highly anyways.
Even though they're defending European champions.
Yeah, even though they're the champs. Yeah, it's just they're so poor up front. We never pay attention to them.
It's insane.
Yeah, Italy. I mean, England and France are both being disappointed. France had the harder group out of the two. And Austria are a very good side, as we've seen. Netherlands, you pick them as one of your last four. You know they're a very good side. Poland, of course, are not very good. They drew with them. Poland got a late penalty, so France didn't win that match. It's just a tale of two teams that are being very disappointing. And with an injury that happened to Mbappe in the first match, I really feel that unbalanced that Netherlands match with him in there. I do give France the nod. The match went 0-0. So with that little bit of extra firepower, they could have won, but could have and should have are all two different things.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both disappointing. I do still think that they both could finish strong. It's just France, you know, Austria is difficult, man. So is the Netherlands. Those are two difficult
sides. Also, that Austria team is such a good story. I mean,
imagine Ralf Rangnick with the talent at England, what he could do with what he's doing with the talent at Austria. Austria are just running, chasing, pressing everybody, not giving anyone a chance to breathe. And they're absolutely tearing up these matches. I mean, what they did to the Netherlands, winning 3-2, was absolutely insane. I mean, Sabitzer in the 80th scored that winning goal. And it was just crazy. And not to mention, they actually went 4-2, but because of a toe, they had to call the goal back that I forget who scored it. I think it wasn't Arnautovic. It might have been I think it was Bumgarner. He scored, and they had to call it back. The match really was 4-2, so they demolished the Netherlands, man. And the Netherlands is a team that everyone really rates really highly. So what Austria doing is really something to look at. And France is getting not punished, but they are having to deal with that team that is shining so well, and that makes them look a little bit inferior. Austria is doing an incredible thing this year.
So is Italy? Let's talk about these. I'm gonna name you four teams, and you tell me disappointed or as expected. Okay. Yeah. So Netherlands,
disappointing.
France,
disappointing.
Italy.
I mean, it's as expected. Yeah,
as expected.
I mean, it has to be. Yeah.
And England.
Oh, disappointing.
So we know this about Italy, right? Italy. And I told you, example A is the 2006 World Cup. They get out the group stage, and then they squeak their way by. Yeah. They go 0-0 with Germany in the semifinal. No penalties. Listen. This is even worse. They go 0-0 with Germany in the semifinal. They go to extra time. They're scoreless in extra time for the first 15 minutes. And they score two goals in the 119th and the 120th. Wow. 119th and 120th. They win 2-0. And then they go to France for the final. Well, they not go to France. They played France in the final. You know what happens there, right?
Yeah.
Zidane headbutts.
Yeah.
They go to penalties. Who went? Italy won their fourth World Cup in a penalty shootout.
Yeah.
So this is just what Italy does, Nick.
Yeah.
They just 0-0 you to death. It's all part of Carlo's plan.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, somewhere Ancelotti is smiling right now because he's like, if I were managing Italy, we'd be 4 points, we'd be advancing, I would just nil the hell out of you.
Yeah, he'd win at everything in penalties.
Yeah, so now I'm going to name you basically, so these 4 teams. So Austria, would you say expected or overachieved?
Everybody expected this out of them.
Really? You think?
I mean, even listening to some of the pundits, I mean, I've make my own opinions, and I liked Austria going into it, but so did 80% of the football world, because everyone knew what Ralf Rangnick can do, and everyone knew that Austria plays very tactically and smart. So I want to lean on the to be expected, because, I mean, we've seen Austria in the last Euros, either the last one or the one before, they made the playoff also. So I stick with expected. In my opinion, I expected them to do good. I didn't expect them to win the group, but I think I called them getting in second or third.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I want to literally go back and say that I picked Austria to finish second because I was fighting over Netherlands and we were sitting at odd duck, and I'm like, bro, I think Austria could finish second. And here they are winning the damn group.
Yeah. Germany. Overachieved or as expected?
As expected. I expected them to do this.
Spain, overachieved or as expected?
I expected this. I picked them last four.
9 points?
Yes. I said last four, man. I think they breezed through. Too much youth and talent.
Portugal, expected or overachieved?
Yeah.
Expected. So then, so we have two, so something's got to give here, right? So we got two disappointments that are playing each other in the next round. France play Belgium. Good afternoon, neighbor. So they play each other July 1st, 12 p.m. Somebody's going home and somebody's going to advance. So you have two teams that have
Belgium's going to go home.
You and I both picked that were underachieving, and they're going to play each other. So one of the underachievers is going to advance, and one of the underachievers is going to go to the quarterfinals. So then on the other side, we have Germany versus Denmark. Germany versus Denmark is clinched. That is the next round for the hosts.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Switzerland play their neighbors to the north, Italy, in the next round. And we have a couple of matches still to be determined. England's opponent will be determined here in a few hours. Romania also, Austria also, Spain and Portugal also. So the only things that are clinched as of right now with about, we'll see, the next match kicks off at 3:00. So that's 40 minutes from now.
Right around the corner.
In 2.5 hours, we will know everyone who's playing everyone. But just to look at what we know, Switzerland and Italy. So what do you expect there? See, now I could see Italy just get, I could see them losing this one because this is a team. Switzerland has some talent. They can get forward. Mbolo can score. They have a great keeper in Jan Sommer. So, I mean, this is a team that drew with Germany, the only blemish on Germany's record that, you know, not a loss, but a draw, keeping them from 9 points. Switzerland, but then on the flip side, Nick, you know, Switzerland also drew with Scotland, who are one of the weakest teams in the tournament. So, you know, what do you expect in this one? I mean, Italy can't score. That's their problem. Yeah. You know, so it's not a matter of, you know, can Italy stop Switzerland? It's a matter of, can Italy even put any pressure on the Swiss goal?
Yeah, I mean, you would like to think Swiss, because even their defense is good enough to shut out Italy. I mean, hell, Italy shuts out themselves. I see Swiss, but I mean, would we be surprised if Italy advanced somehow on a 1-0 or no. a penalty shootout? No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't bat an eye. We would just probably laugh and say, "Oh, here goes Italy," and move on. But I would like to think the Swiss can win that. I mean, Swiss are good. We saw what they did against Germany. Germany had to rely on a late goal. So if I had to put money on it, I would pick Swiss to advance, but I probably wouldn't touch this unless I was forced to, just because Italy can do what Italy does. You know that.
Yeah. I mean, we know what they're going to do. You know, they're going to sit back. They're going to probably concede possession. Although, you know, what I don't know that the Swiss are going to do. Italy are very sound defensively, and they always have been. That is the one thing they've always seemingly, if they've gone down, they've come quickly back up. They always have a very good group of back four, back three, however they want to play it. Usually a good keeper. Donnarumma is a good keeper. And then, you know, they typically have a very good number six and or a couple of number sixes. And so, I mean, it's not them conceding goals that worries me. It's them scoring goals. And if they go down 1-0, you saw how long it took for them to equalize. Oh, 90th plus 8 is how they got into this position by drawing Croatia. At the death, right? Yeah. At the death. I mean, Croatia were through. They had advanced to the next round. It was over. You and I had already declared Italy dead.
Yeah, it was the last pass, literally.
Yeah. And so they live to fight another day. But if that happens with Switzerland, I don't know if they can pull it out, do that twice, you know? I mean, is it possible? Sure, it's not probable. So I think Italy's on high alert to be knocked out here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Germany and Denmark? I mean, even I got to favor Germany in this one.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, Denmark.
Denmark's second place with 3 points.
Yeah, and they couldn't score last match. Really, Serbia looked the better side. I actually watched that. Yesterday was terrible. I watched Denmark, Serbia, and England and Slovenia side by side. And holy, Slovakia, whoever it was. And holy cow, what a eyesore. Both the matches went 0-0. And really, Serbia should have won on Denmark, and England was England. I just...
Nick, do you know the only match in this entire group, Group C, that ended in a win or a loss was England-Serbia?
Yeah,
every other match was a draw.
Yeah,
every other match.
Yeah, Denmark.
The most goals scored by any team, there's a three-way tie. England, Denmark, and Slovenia all scored 2, and England allowed 1. And Denmark and Slovenia, I mean, there's no goals in this group.
None.
This was a snooze fest.
Absolute terrible group.
Slovenia is technically still alive. If I'm looking, 3 points. Slovenia is still alive.
In the third place spot.
Czechia and Turkey still have a say. Well, actually, so does Georgia, honestly. So this group F. Yeah. This is big because this is actually going to determine a lot. Slovakia is in a good position with 4 points in third place. That's in Group E. Obviously, the Netherlands, 4 points in Group D.
Yeah, it depends on Czech. If they win this match today against Turkey, then that'll push them up, and then Turkey will push down in the third place spot.
Yeah, the third place team that's definitely out is Croatia.
Yes, Croatia. With 2 points, they just can't.
Yeah. Right now, if it ends right now as it is, Czechia, if they draw, they'll be out with 2 points as well. So then we'll have our round of 16. But They're still, everybody in Group F still alive. Yeah. Everybody actually is still alive. Georgia included. Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs are still alive. And, you know, if they can finally beat Bama, that'd be great. But, you know, probably not. So the last match. So you said, okay, the last one we know about in the round of 16. Then we'll talk about these games upcoming in Group F real quick. We're doing a little bit backwards. But France and Belgium. You think France is going to send Belgium home?
Yes, of course. I would.
Why do you say yes, of course? Because that neither team have looked impressive. Neither team have been able to really put the ball in the back of the net. Mbappe's banged up. We know that in recent years, he comes up smallest in the biggest of games. And if you want to add, if you want to throw the World Cup in there, so he hasn't won anything substantial in 6 years. So that's the last thing he's won. So for over half a decade now, and we just saw this most recently with Borussia Dortmund, he's come up the smallest and the biggest of games. So what gives you confidence that France are going to send Belgium home?
What Mbappe did to Argentina in the final, scoring that brace in the last 20 minutes was incredible. And he brought France back and gave them a chance. And really, Martinez saving that last shot saved Argentina's chances to win the World Cup. I mean, in the biggest game of Mbappe's life after the World Cup final that he did win, he scored a brace. So he did what he could. And then Martinez stopped them, and then Argentina won the World Cup. Mbappe will show up in this match. He will be playing. Belgium look old and tired. I mean, today I watched the first half with my own eyes while we were on the phone, and it was, I mean, Jennifer put it on the TV. For whatever reason, I didn't want to watch it. And I mean, they just look old, man. Carrasco's still coming on the pitch. He was playing in China 2 years ago. Bakayoko isn't getting the time he needs. For whatever reason, Openda isn't starting every match. He came on late against Ukraine. Kevin looks tired. He looks old. Lukaku is Lukaku. He's missing chances.
Openda not playing more is shocking, especially after the season he had for Leipzig.
I'm telling you, man, I would be absolutely shocked if Belgium could somehow pull it out with the old players they have, Vertonghen in the back line, the old guys they have coming in, the manager making these decisions with their best players coming off the bench at the end. I don't see France bum fumbling this. If they do, then we can attribute it to them being just off. But I would put a substantial amount on France to advance. They probably will be the favorite just because Belgium has looked bad. And I just don't see Belgium pulling it out there behinds and pulling this off, man. I just don't. Talent's too much there with France. Belgium just old. I think this is their last go round. Some things are going to change after this. I mean, not scoring against Ukraine when they needed a win to win the group and put themselves in a better position to advance. Who would want to play France? You know they wanted to beat Ukraine. They couldn't do it. I don't see them waking up for France. So I would definitely take France on this, even though they're also playing down. I would have to. Who would you trust in? Lukaku, Mbappe, Kevin De Bruyne, or someone like Mbappe, or who? I can't think of any names right now. I would take France, man. I mean, I would love to see the odds. I know France is going to be a favorite, but I don't trust Belgium right now. I just don't. I didn't trust them against Ukraine. Why would I trust them against France?
Well, I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah.
You said, I don't know why, but the one player that you mentioned, you kept saying, who do you trust? And I don't know, man. Like, I still trust KDB.
Yeah.
I just do. I mean, he's been good for a lot longer than he's been bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not ready to say that all the juice has been squeezed out of that lemon yet.
No, he still has it, but he still has some talent. He scored against Romania.
Right.
It's just he's I'm watching him with my eyes, man, and if we just look at numbers, he's averaging a 7. But he looks tired out there, man. He just something's off. He's missing little passes every now and then. just watching them in the first half today against Ukraine, he even looked a little off. I mean, they lost to Slovakia, for Christ's sake. Slovakia has a population of like 5 million, I think they said. It's just, I don't know, man. I would just trust France just off talent and off of what I've seen alone. I mean, really, France drew with they beat Austria, which is good. They drew with Netherlands and drew with Poland. I mean, Belgium lost to Slovakia, and by the grace of God, they didn't lose to Ukraine. So I put a little bit more of my eggs on France just because it's France. But I don't know. At this point, I wouldn't be shocked if either or got knocked out. I would think France have a little edge here on this just because of managerial decisions and the youth of France and a little bit more juice in them. And Kevin still has a couple years. He does. It's just what I've seen from him in the last couple matches, it's just been a little difficult to see, man. Because for whatever reason, every time Belgium's on, I have a chance to watch him, and it's been a little disappointing.
Well,
what day is that? Is that Germany's on Saturday?
July 1st.
Okay.
So that is
Sunday, I think. Yeah.
Okay. So looking at this, biggest surprise of the group stage, biggest disappointment. And I'll go ahead and say, for me, the biggest surprise of the group stage is Austria. I really, for them to win that group, that was one of the groups of death that we said. Yeah. I would have said 100% Netherlands or France come out of that group as the winners.
Yeah.
And I thought Austria will be doing well to finish third. And if they're lucky, they get 4 points and they finish as a strong third and they advance to the group, to the knockout stage.
Yeah.
But on no planet did I see them winning this group, and they did. So for me, Austria was the biggest surprise. Who is your biggest surprise that did something positive that you didn't expect them to do in the group stage?
I mean, I favor Austria. I mean, I'll say for Spain to win the group with 9 points that we both agreed could be the second maybe group of death there possibly.
Yeah. Did say it was.
Yeah. And to not concede a single goal and to score 5 and let alone not to mention they started the bench on their last match and still won the match. I would say that's a pretty big surprise. No one would have said they would have scored 5, let in none, 9 points because we all thought that would be England. So on a positive note, I will say Austria, Spain, those two I would argue as my two positive surprises, with Germany coming in third just because they scored 8, let in 2, won the group. They did what they needed to do on a positive side. Between those three, I would do it. I'd take Spain just because I didn't think they would get 9. I thought they'd draw against Italy or maybe Croatia, but they even shocked me with the 9 points.
Disappointment, biggest disappointment of the group stage. And no, it is not England for winning their group, no matter how ugly they look doing it. I have to say, you know, there's been a lot of underachievers, and, you know, we've named a lot of them. But to me, I am a big person on, and I say this, look, I'm a big person on defending championships, right? I always think that if you're the defending champions, that's why it was such a big deal for me when you had 4 consecutive World Cup winners not make it out of the group stage in the next World Cup, right? Italy don't qualify for World Cups nowadays, but when they get in the European Championship, they win it.
Yeah.
So they are literally one breath away from already being out of this. And in that instance, I would tell you the defending champions being out in the group stage would be, to me, the biggest disappointment. I'm not going to just give them a pass because they managed to score that goal in the 90th plus 8. I'm still saying Italy are the biggest disappointment. I expected that they have 3 goals for, 3 goals against. They won their first match, lost the second, and they drew the third. And they were lifeless against Spain. What did I say at one time? They had 2 shots, none on target.
Yeah.
They were lifeless against Croatia until the very end. Until the very end. This is I'm telling you right now, Switzerland can absolutely pick Italy off in this next round Yeah. If they go up 1-0, like Croatia did, I'm telling you, you know, if you get a 90th plus 8, Nick, you know, count your lucky stars. Wonderful. It happened. You know, that's great. But that kind of luck, relying on that kind of a situation to bail you out, is going to end very quickly.
Yeah.
They're a cat's whisker away from already being home.
Yeah.
But they are the defending champions. They are in the knockout stage, and we know their opponents. So, you know, but to me, they are still the biggest disappointment because they have looked so bad in defending their championship from 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I guess. And it's just, to me, it is a team that has no offensive fluidity whatsoever. There is no attack. There's no consistency going forward. There's no, you know, however you want to say it. There is, it's just a lifeless, just no plan, no tactical structure at all. It's just go forward and almost like a spray and pray, just hope for the best, you know. But they can't even get the ball towards the opponent's goal. I mean, it's not a matter of, well, you had 30 shots, but only 3 were on target. They don't get any shots at all.
Yeah.
0 on target and like 3 shots in a game. I mean, it's not a poor attacking, Nick. It's a lack of attack, period.
Yeah, they have none.
They have none. I mean, I'm genuinely worried. Well, not. I mean, I'm saying, if I'm an Italian supporter, if I was an Italy supporter, you know, Forza Italia, I mean, I would be genuinely worried and concerned how you plan. I mean, because eventually, at some point, like with Spain, they're going to fall behind. And Spain, 1-0, that's it, dude.
Yeah,
you knew it was over. As soon as Spain scored the goal, they could have scored that goal in the second minute.
Yeah.
And they would have led for the next 88. That to me is the biggest disappointment. Who is your biggest disappointment of the group stage?
Yeah, I mean, the defending champ thing is definitely a good point. I mean, this is a hard one. Yeah, England won their group, but it's so uninspiring. You have all this talent. Like, that's the normal.
It is just hard. It's hard to say on paper
that
your disappointment when you won your group.
Yeah,
so you should have, even though it was ugly, I kind of give them a pass. Only because, and I hate to say it, man, I'm conflicted. You know this, man. I think they look like trash.
Yeah.
I do. And it sucks because they're really good on paper.
Yeah.
But you don't win games on paper, Southgate. He doesn't know that.
Yeah.
He does not know that. You and I can clue him in, and every single YouTuber and podcaster that's calling for his head can clue him in. He doesn't get it.
Yeah.
You don't just show up with 23 names. Well, Joe Gomez sucks, so 22 names. You don't just show up with 22 names on the back of a kit and win a World Cup or a European Championship or a Copa America. You don't.
Yeah.
There has to be some tactical vision, some philosophy behind it. And he doesn't have – his head is up his ass.
Yeah, he has no clue. To kind of steer away from that, I mean, I know
I know your biggest disappointment. It's Czechia. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's kind of right. Well, hell, they win today. They could.
Today. They finish second.
Belgium is another one that we can argue because they didn't even win their group, and they were expected to. That first loss to Slovakia really hurt them, and it was bad, man. I gotta lean Belgium just because. You go back all the way to 2014, 2018, 2022. In between there, you have the Euros, and you're really expecting Belgium to be somewhere. They're going to be Final Four. They're going to go to the semis. They're going to go to the final. Hell, maybe they might even win it because of the talent they have. And here is that last hurrah. I believe it's the last hurrah, even though you have people like Openda and Bakayoko, all those guys – who have some youth. Kevin's getting old, man. You're not going to see him in the next Euro. I'm sorry, unless he's coming off the bench at 38.
He won't be.
Kevin, this is it. Carrasco's done. Witzel, he's been done for 2 years. He's still on the team.
Yeah.
So I have to say, man, for what's at stake and what's going on to not win the group and look as bad as they have and losing to that Slovenian side in the first match, I'll say Belgium. A lot of people have Belgium finishing in the last four, and I just don't see that happening. Beat France, and you're just going to probably lose your next match to whoever it is you're going to play. It's going to run out soon. I don't think they will beat France, but yeah, I got to go with Belgium, man. I mean, Italy, definitely, you're a defending champ. You got to come out strong, and sadly, they look terrible.
I remember you talking about Axel Witsel, that Borussia Dortmund saved him from Russia. Like, he was playing in the Russian Premier League.
Yeah.
And Borussia Dortmund bought him for like $20 million.
Yeah.
And actually, for a while, he played really well.
Witsel was good.
Yeah, he was a great Witsel, number six for them.
Yes, man. Alex Witsel really did well, man. And he just, even for the national team, he was doing good in the last two tournaments.
Yeah.
It's just, he's too old now. And I don't know why they waste a spot on him, because you could go in the Belgian domestic league and find you a six.
Agreed.
Or somebody else who can actually help this
But
team
Germany
out.
Germany wasted a World Cup spot on a class clown in Lukas Podolski.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's your answer. I mean, maybe he's good for morale.
Yeah.
Definitely got experience.
Good in the locker room, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can, I guess when you have 23 players, you can waste one on a class clown.
Yeah.
That's good. Everybody likes joking with. I mean, you know, it's like if you could have the Pillsbury Throwboy in your locker room, would you spend, I mean, he's funny. You poke him, he goes,
yeah.
You know, like, can you waste one roster spot on that? Yeah. Is it really? I mean, look, Joe Gomez is playing. We don't even notice that. I didn't even know he's on the team until I said his name last week.
And Kwanzaa's even on the team, too, I think.
I think he was a reserve.
I think they brought him up, man. I want to say he was on the bench. I saw him the other day, man, just because someone got hurt.
Oh, well, then, yeah, he was the glass guy out.
Yes.
That was on the reserve team, so that may very well be. But he was basically like the next, if someone gets injured, he's the next man up, right?
Yeah.
I would switch him out for Gomez right now.
Yeah.
I mean, not that you can, I mean, squad not set, that, but I'm saying, like, God, I would have, why, what did Joe Gomez do to earn a spot over Jarrell Kwanzaa?
It is kind of crazy that Joe's there. It's funnier the more
I
you
just
talk
never
about
have,
it.
Like,
yeah.
How many? You know how many Liverpool kits I've got, right? Have you ever seen Gomez's name on any of them? No. I have almost every player, right?
Gomez only – yeah, you do. Gomez
– not him.
Gomez I really only think of is when I think of VVD in the 2018, 1920.
Yeah, babysitting him.
Yeah, because he was just his partner, and because VVD was so goddamn legendary and good.
Hey, idiots.
It rubbed off
there
on Joe. Yeah. It just rubbed off on Joe, and it made Joe look like a very good and talented back when in fact we don't need him on the pitch at all.
No, and then we're not going to go down this rabbit hole. We got so much time to talk club football, but anyways, I still do not understand how he's on the English national team.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the other tournament. We have some games in the books now, and Copa America 2024 well underway. You and I have been watching the matches at Basel.
Yeah, we've actually watched.
And you know, last night we saw Peru go down to 10 men on a studs out, studs up tackle.
Oh, it was studs. Okay.
It was, but it looked, honestly, they reviewed it. I would have given yellow.
You said yellow. I didn't see
it. Was yellow and then turned to automatic red.
Okay.
And that's when David scored for Canada.
David did score.
He did score. Okay. Yeah, David scored.
I saw the goal. That was a pretty goal.
Yeah, so Canada lives to fight another day. They have Chile next, I believe.
Yeah, they're in a tough group, and Chile will be harder than Peru.
Yes, yes, they will be. But nonetheless, so we've seen. Let's talk about our impressions. So we saw the biggest odds match of the first round of games was Costa Rica and Brazil. Brazil were the largest favorites in the entire first batch of games, first round of games of the group stage. They don't win. They go scoreless 0-0 with Costa Rica. They both get a point. And I think you said it's the first time. Did you say it was the first time since 1938?
Yes, in 86 years.
First time. Brazil is setting all types of bad records. With the United States match, I think that was the first time, and 26 matches that they hadn't beaten the United States. They drew and then they draw with Costa Rica. First time since before World War II.
Yeah, before World War II.
Unreal.
Yeah.
So we now have two matches for Argentina in the books, two Canada matches in the books, and the USA plays tonight, I believe.
No. USA plays.
No, sorry. They play tomorrow night.
Yeah, tonight yeah. is Mexico.
Tonight is Mexico. Yeah. And Jamaica also play tonight. Yep. So those that
two CONCACAF sides. Yeah.
Yeah. So far, let's first of all talk about the U.S. performance against Bolivia. Obviously, the U.S. were big favorites. Pulisic scores in the third minute.
Yeah, it was quick.
And they get another goal. Was it? I think it was the 43rd.
Yeah, it was right.
Yeah, and then they coast to 2-0. So what were your thoughts on the U.S. game? I mean, I think we both expected them to win.
Yeah.
And I said to Neil, I think I texted you to score 3-0. I think I said 3-0, but it ended 2-0. But shutout nonetheless. Clean sheet for Turner. But it's hard to look bad in a match where you're such overwhelming favorites when you really need that win. And we said that the draw favorably to the U.S. because they don't play Uruguay until the last match. So. Yeah. They should have 6 points in the bucket and have already been qualified for the quarterfinals before Uruguay even comes on the plate.
Yeah.
But so, what are your thoughts on these first batch of games? Like
well, the U.S. missed so many chances, man. I mean, I kind of felt bad for gamblers in that spot because the. Over 2.5 should have been an easy hit. Ricardo Pepe can't finish, man. I mean, just terrible finishing at the end. And if you watch the match, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, it should have been at least, a 3 or 4-0 match. It's still good they held the clean sheet. Nothing really much surprising there. I mean, the quick goal really favored U.S. They could kind of do what they wanted. Getting the second really closed it out. And yeah, man, I mean, as you like to say, business as usual.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing really much about the USA that is left up for debate, really. I mean, you expect them to go on and beat who's the odd out? It's USA, Uruguay, Bolivia, and who's the other one?
In that group?
Yeah. I don't even remember the other person in the group. Who is it? It's funny. I can't even think of it. I'm about to look, but it's just crazy that we forget who that other team is. It is Panama.
Panama. Yeah. Yep. I thought it was the CONCACAF. Yeah.
So Panama, you know, they're probably going to beat Panama. If they don't, it would be an absolute travesty. I mean, Panama did score against Uruguay, but it was 3-0 at the time. And really, Uruguay was just falling asleep. They should have not let that goal
they're
in.
So good that they're bored.
Yeah. They were just – well, really, it was 1-0 till like the 80-something. And then Nunez gets his goal. And then, I mean, game's over. And then they let Panama score. But – I just – USA was just normal, just business as usual, and they should beat Panama. And then the match at the end against Uruguay will be for the group winner.
Nunez.
No matter what – yeah, no matter what, USA and Uruguay will advance. So it just matters on who wins and who doesn't.
Biggest disappointment of either tournament, so Copa and Euro combined, are we unified here in saying that Brazil is the biggest disappointment?
Yeah, well, Brazil right now – I mean, kind of talk of the.
You and I watched this game against Costa Rica.
Oh yeah,
the other night on Monday.
First half.
Yeah, we watched the first half, and then I came home, and you went home, and I watched the second half.
Yeah.
And between that and Edmonton losing the Stanley Cup,
was just
a very disappointing night of sports. But
big night of sports.
Yeah. But honestly, I don't really. I mean, oh no, let me take that back. Like in terms of Brazil and Costa Rica, I didn't really care. I'm not a Brazil fan. I'm not a Costa Rica fan, but when you think of like Samba football, when you think of the beautiful, like the technical expertise of Brazil in the past, like Ronaldinho and Cafu and Romario and
most World Cups.
Roberto Carlos.
They've won the most World
R9
Cups.
And just, I mean, a who's who of Dunga, Dida. I mean, all these guys that have made the sport what it is, going all the way back to Pele. It's just been, this latest, I mean, obviously, you know, Fabinho, Alisson, Coutinho, Firmino, you name them. And this, it doesn't matter. Vinny Jr. is, you know, up for the Ballon d'Or and he can't score against Costa Rica, you know, like.
He won't win it now.
Here's the other thing too. Well, yeah, that's a good point. Here's the other thing too. We talked about this on the lineup. They had him as a number 9.
Yeah.
And you said, and I agree with you, he's going to venture over to his wing spot. And sure enough, where did we see him almost the entire match?
Every time.
He was exclusively on the left wing,
yeah,
trying to break him down.
Yeah.
And I said, well, so, you know, tactically, you have a player in this match. We're watching him. You're supposed to be a center forward, and you're on the wing.
Yeah.
Where's
your forward at?
Yeah, who is the forward?
Yeah,
who is the forward? It was supposed to be Vinny Jr. You look at just, like you said, Marquinhos. You and I have always thought he's a little bit overrated,
yeah,
right, for PSG and now for national team. Alisson, I mean, he didn't concede any, but also he was never really threat. I mean, Costa Rica didn't really go. It was basically, can Brazil score? Not a matter of whether. And let's say this too. The offside goal that was disallowed.
Oh yeah.
You and I both thought that was onside.
Yeah.
And so now, so we could be talking about an entirely different scoreline.
We missed that penalty too. Remember when he was tackled in the box in the first 10 minutes? I sent you that clip. That was a penalty, man. I don't care what anyone tells me. He got absolutely tackled. In the beginning.
Well, what about the handball?
Well, the handball too. That's another thing that comes up. This right here was in the first 10 minutes. And how is this not a penalty? I mean, bro.
Yeah. That
he tackled him.
Yeah. That penalty, the lack thereof. But the handball, remember that was the one that you and I both were.
Yeah.
Scratching our heads over because it was the ball hit his arm so hard it knocked it back.
And you saw his hand go behind his back.
It was a clear handball.
Yes.
And they didn't even review it.
No. Nope.
They did not review it.
And we were both at the bar like, why are they yelling at the ref so much? Why are they yelling
at the ref? They were furious.
And now we see why, because it was a damn handball.
It was a clear handball.
Yes.
No penalty given. Nope. No penalty given on that tackle. And
the offside.
The goal that was scored.
Quote, unquote, offside.
Offside. I mean, Brazil could have been up 3-0.
Yeah.
Easily.
100%.
But you know this, the longer that you keep a team so Brazil eventually gets frustrated,
yes,
I think, because now they're like, we have to score. The pressure starts mounting.
Yep.
They're up 1-0, 2-0, 3-0 at the half.
Yeah.
Then they don't give a damn. Then it probably ends up 6-0, 7-0,
yeah,
because now
they're playing with no care.
They're playing, yeah, and the other team's got to go forward. I mean, yeah, you're trying to do whatever you can to win or get some goals back because you don't want to have a goal differential that's -6. So the more you score. You get what I'm saying? Like, the more you score in the first half, it's going to be easier to score in the second because you're going to be playing more carefree with less stress and less pressure. And the other team knows, okay, if we want to have any shot at keeping our goal differential down, we've got to put some back in the net. Not necessarily even to win, but just to have a more respectable scoreline. Because in these things, with 3 matches, you don't have it's not a season of 38 matches where you can just make up for it next week. It's like, yeah, you have basically 3 matches over the course of, 7 or 8 days to get your 9 points or as many points as you can get.
Yeah.
And if you can't get enough points, you may come down to a tiebreaker. And that's going to come down to goal differential. So, yeah, I mean, but Brazil completely, I mean, but look, Nick, you kind of talked about this. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. It didn't happen, bro. 0-0 was the scoreline. So that is a disappointing result, is it not?
Yeah, big time. One of the biggest disappointments I've seen in a while. I just, for them to go 0-0 was absolutely deflating. I mean, just terrible. I mean, the line on them to score 2 or 3 goals was insane. at halftime, you had to take them to not score two just because of how bad it was, man. I mean, it's like watching it, you kind of had to feel that they just don't want them to score. I mean, three goals could have been in that first half, and really all of them. We give them the offside. That was a handball. That was a penalty. Mm-hmm. That say they miss one of the penalties, they're still up 1-0, changes the whole game. Game has changed. Now Costa Rica have to go forward if they want to win. They want to win. They have nothing to lose. They're new manager, new players, all this and that. They're going to go forward. Brazil probably win 3-4-0.
Right.
But because of what happened in the calls, and all day you don't want to let it rest on the referee's calls, it's on the players, you can attribute a little bit of that to the refs. But Brazil just look lost. They don't have that Neymar, that R9, that they don't have that player who can give them that deadly finish and put the ball in the back of the net. I mean, that's what the game's about. And Brazil just don't have it. They need to put Rodrigo in the front. They need to have Junior and Martinelli on the wings and just let them go at it. Bring Endrick on later on in the match. Sure, Real Madrid, he's 18, he's 19, he looks good, he can score, blah, blah, blah. But he's just too young right now, man. You got to get these experienced guys out here. And next match is going to tell all. I don't know who they have next.
Who's that?
Brazil. I think
I thought it was Colombia.
If it is Colombia, then they're going to – yeah, I think it is Colombia. They're going to have a hard time, man. And if they do not win this next match, I mean, it's going to be pretty bad. So apparently everyone they wanted to come and manage this team said no. Nobody wanted to come and manage Brazil. So they settled with this buffoon that they have managing the club or the team.
Yeah.
And now it shows that they're just mismanaged and it's not working out. And they need to really make some big changes.
What were
here.
The reasoning? What was the reason behind these managers?
I don't know. I don't know why. So I was watching a really good show of two guys, and they were saying that everyone that went up for the team to be the manager, they turned it down, and they had to settle with just some jabroni that, you know, at some local Brazilian bus stop. So they
it's showing. They found some guy naked on the beaches of Rio who was suntanning, and they said, "Come on, manage the national team.
Come on and manage the team."
Well, he does look lost out there. I don't know who he is.
No one does.
The guy for Costa Rica was wearing a suit.
Yeah,
and this guy was wearing like a European Euro trash tracksuit.
Yeah,
and but look. I will say this, though. How, Nick, you got to explain this to me, man, because I don't get it. And maybe you don't get it either, so I got to explain it to you, and I can't do that because I just said I don't get it. How do you not – the offside, right?
Yeah.
You and I both said, that's on. We're like, that's on. And it's like, well, it'll get reviewed, and we're like, it's not going to get overturned.
Yeah,
there's no way. And it gets over. How do you not review that handball?
Yeah. And the penalty.
How do you not? Yeah. Well, even that. Let's just say penalty is a bang bang call, right? Like, okay, maybe you didn't hit him as hard as I thought you did.
Yeah.
But when I hit your hand so hard with a football that it ricochets off of it, the ball deflects off of your arm, and your arm flies backwards because of the velocity and the speed of the ball. How do you not? Like Brazil was like. And I understand now, like you said, why they were in his face. Because we're like, man, well, they just think that they're just running the show. Like, it's Brazil. They're just going to get in this guy's face and bully him. Yeah. No, they were legitimately angry and upset and had every right to be.
Yeah.
Because they were robbed
of
a potential penalty.
Yeah.
And even the 1-0, man, it opens the floodgates possibly for Brazil,
it's
right?
It's funny because the Costa Rica player was just like, looking around and like he did nothing.
Oh, yeah, like I didn't do anything.
He knew that ball hit his freaking
See,
hand.
And that's where you're right, because from the angle they showed
it
looked like it hit his chest. But then when they showed the back angle from his back, you see his arm just fly back.
Yeah.
And I mean, he is caught pants down, dead to rights.
Yeah.
And Brazil immediately points, that's it, handball. and you don't review it. You don't even look at it. I mean, it was almost, dare I say, rigged against Brazil somehow. I mean, I don't understand how you don't even give that a second review if you're VAR. You don't even
A chance.
Just go to the booth.
Just for 5 seconds, if they would have looked, it would have been immediately called a penalty.
Who's in the booth watching the same replay that all the millions of us watched on TV is saying that's not reviewable?
It's a blind Stevie Wonder. Has to be.
And there's all, let's preface, there's always a chance that they blow the penalty, right? But I mean, more than likely not.
Yeah. Penalties are made at like 86%.
Vinny's going to shoot it, right? Vinny?
Yeah, he'll make it. You would think it would be Vinny. Yeah. I mean, they might give it to like Marquinhos or something, but I would want
Vinny Jr. to shoot it. Yes.
Because we want to make it.
Okay. Last night was, we kicked off the second round of matches in the group stage. Our boy from Inter, the newly crowned Scudetto winner, Lautaro Martinez, 88th minute. The new GOAT is in the building and gets the 3 points for Argentina. They get Chile now off to a very rough start. Argentina already through to the quarter, 6 points out of six. Are you surprised? Business as usual, Lautaro, right? I mean, he just does what he does, right? I mean, Argentina is just still rolling on.
Yeah, Argentina, they couldn't finish. It was pretty rough. McAllister missed the open goal. Messi put it on a plate for him. I really believe
22 shots. Yeah, they had 9 on target.
I think Emelin scores that. It was pretty bad. But then Lautaro came on, got a goal at the end. They win 1-0. Everyone who took Argentina got their win, and Georgia just scored first on Portugal. Wow!
Ouch. Okay, well, so things are getting interesting. This is 2 minutes in?
This is live. It just happened with 1 minute. So Georgia scored with Kuchkovelia, the Napoli legend, has now scored the only goal on Portugal, right? No, someone else did score on Portugal. Sorry. So Turkey is currently up on Portugal 1-0.
No, Georgia's up.
Or Georgia, excuse me. I don't know why I'm saying Turkey. So
Turkey's playing the other game.
As of now, Czechia are out, Georgia are in. So yes, we got life in Euros. Portugal let in the first goal, man. That is crazy.
2 minutes in or 1 minute?
2 minutes.
Oh my God.
Yep, in the 100. Yep. In 100 seconds, man. He scored Kuchkovelia.
Wow.
Yeah. So big goal. But we're talking about Argentina and Lautaro, right?
Yeah.
Lautaro came on, got the goal. And man, let me tell you, it was a nice goal. They reviewed it for a long time. Yeah. But it was a goal, man. It wasn't offsides. I swear, sometimes they just get these VARs going to make sure everything's right, every bank account's correct, everything's going correctly, because sometimes it's uncalled
for. Every bank account.
When they took that to VAR, I said, this can't be real, because I was watching it. There was no chance for any offsides, but I guess they have to check every single pass.
The funniest moment that you and I have had this week watching the matches, when you and I did, because the TVs are muted at Basel.
Was it Costa Rica?
The referee was getting from VAR and said, check my bank.
Yeah, check my bank.
Is the money wired? Is the money wired?
Yeah.
Hey, call my wife, see if it's, get her to log into the online account and see if it's there. Did it clear? It did? Okay. Yeah. And then he says no goal. And we said that Costa Rica spent their entire GDP on that one.
Yeah.
The country is broke. Costa Rica is broke. They have no more money. They spent it all to get a goal for Brazil overturned.
Yeah.
And we said, man, if they don't at least get 1 point out of this, it's...
Yeah. Their whole government.
It's so funny when you...
They got a point out of it, so the money was well spent.
Well spent, man. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, their dollar bill crashing to the ground is now worth everything. They drew with Brazil for the first time in 86 years.
Yeah, no, and... You know, in the NFL, what is it like? If you get two challenges right, you get a third one or something, and then you just okay. So because they lined those pockets, they were able to get one more call, which was the handball not getting reviewed. So they said, since you guys were so good and you were so prompt with your wiring of money, we're gonna give you one freebie. So now it's two goals, but big IOU for Chile. I mean, for Costa Rica to somebody.
Oh, big time.
I mean, to tell you, if there ever was a hand of God, I mean, you talk about Maradona, that shit right that there was absolutely
that could count
abysmal in terms of like not getting looked at. But yeah. So the biggest round of games, you know, a lot of the games we talked about, Nick, are in the Copa are going to be in the third batch of matches of the group stage. But, you know, you do have, like we said, the big one is going to be, looks like actually, no, Colombia is playing Costa Rica in the next match. Brazil's playing Paraguay. So they finish up with each other July 2nd.
Okay, yeah.
So it looks like the group will probably
be decided between
Brazil and Colombia. Yeah. Now, the Colombia hasn't lost an international match in 2.5 years.
God, that's crazy.
And Brazil is just, you know, kind of falling apart at the wheels.
In shambles.
So, I mean, I expect, so the one to look at, I expect Colombia to beat Costa Rica. I really do. I don't expect for Costa Rica to get lucky again, and they're out of money.
They don't have more money.
To wire referees.
Yeah.
Let's pick tonight real quick. Venezuela and Mexico. I got Mexico in this one all the way. Venezuela just, they got Ecuador because Ecuador went down to 10 men. I feel like Venezuela got lucky on that. Same way Canada scored on Peru last night. They went down to 10 men. So I think equally 11 versus 11. I think Mexico's 11 beats Venezuela. I like Mexico in this 1-0. I do think that they get that.
Against Jamaica, right?
No, against Venezuela.
Oh, against Venezuela.
Yeah. I like
that. They play Jamaica tonight, right?
No, Ecuador plays Jamaica tonight.
Oh, my God. I'm all over the place. I thought it was Jamaica and Mexico.
No, today it's 6.
Because I said it earlier in the thing, I said it was a CONCACAF game. So, yeah, I'm glad I'm corrected. Yeah, Venezuela. Ecuador should beat Jamaica. Ecuador ended up getting that red card in the first 20 minutes, and that screwed them up.
That messed them up.
Yeah, and they will answer. Caicedo will wake up. They will do fine. Jamaica just don't have enough firepower. And, yeah, Mexico, Venezuela. I mean, Venezuela looked pretty decent against Ecuador, but they were up a man. I mean, that's like being on a power play in hockey for 60 minutes. You're up that guy. I mean, anything can happen. So Mexico probably will get the win there. And yeah, Ecuador, man, I'm counting on them to get the win today. 6:00. Yeah, I'm counting on that one.
USA, Panama.
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
6:00.
CONCACAF rivals.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think in this, with, again, you're hosting the tournament. You are, let's see, what city is that in? That is going to be played.
Is it Dallas?
In Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
It's in Atlanta. Yeah. So
$300 a ticket.
71% USA favored to win.
Yeah.
Only 10% for Panama. So I like USA in this one. I do also like Uruguay as well. I think you're going to have USA and Uruguay both with 6 points to decide the group.
Uruguay and Bolivia, that'll be pretty bad. If I was Uruguay, I would make sure my players are healthy. I meant Uruguay and Bolivia. Yeah.
USA. Uruguay's going to just toast Bolivia.
Yeah, they need to make sure everybody stays healthy for the tournament. I would let them relax. But, USA, Panama, man, they should beat Panama. Panama is just Panama right now. They're not, this isn't 1988, you know, USA should be fine.
All right, and the last one is Friday. We have Brazil and Paraguay. I think we both say Colombia is going to just torch Costa Rica. I don't think that there's – I mean, you look at Colombia is actually 72% to win, Costa Rica 10% with an 18% draw. That is just, you know, Colombia overwhelming favorites. But also, despite the fact that Brazil has played so poorly – they still have a 72% chance to win as well. Same odds as Colombia over Paraguay. I mean,
I attribute it to just how bad Paraguay is right now.
Yeah, I do. I think Brazil comes away with a gritty win here. I think it's going to be 1-0. I think they come away.
They have to wake up.
Yeah, they have to wake up. So I do favor Brazil over Paraguay.
Yeah.
Then we're going to have basically, you know, Canada, Chile will fight each other to see who finishes second. Because I think Argentina knocks out Peru. on Saturday, and Canada and Chile, the winner of that, will finish second in that group in advance. And then Mexico, Ecuador, Jamaica, Venezuela, USA, Uruguay, Bolivia, Panama, and then Brazil, Colombia, Costa Rica, and Paraguay. I'm going to say this, Nick. There's going to be a lot of, how should I say, a lot of subpar teams in the quarters. We're not really going to get the like meat and potatoes of this tournament until the semifinals.
It'll be you know, 2 weeks before we get the really big important matches in this one. But hey, we're set up for some big ones, because we can have the juggernauts at the end. I mean, tournament like this, you really don't see those smaller sides like you will in Europe really do too much, man. It's too difficult. It's too lopsided, you know? Really hard to see a team like Costa Rica or Venezuela, someone like that, do something like what Austria is doing, you know? It just, it's such a slim chance.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, that pretty much wraps it up in terms of Copa America and the European Championship 2024. So we have everything reviewed going into the weekend and early next week. And transfer news, I just saw today that Serge Gyurcsány, I saw this from a credible source. It looks like he's picked Dortmund. So,
I didn't even see that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, nothing else to the transfer market is open, but there's just not a lot of deals being done because of the European Championship and the Copa America. And you're going to see some players make a name for themselves in these tournaments, some of these younger guys.
Lord, and it's Arsenal and BVB. Arsenal in transfer race for Gyurcsány. Okay. But Chelsea are out of the running.
Yeah, I saw today somewhere where it said that he picked Dortmund.
Yeah, there's another one that just came out, but it's from a BVB buzz. Like, of course BVB's going to say that. Yeah. If I'm looking at a transfer thing, I like to not pick the team that's putting out the news, if that makes sense. Like, I'd rather have a non-biased side.
Yeah.
Because, of course, they're going to say, oh, they're going to pick us, and then next thing you know, Jude's not going to Liverpool. He's going to freaking Real Madrid. So it's like, I don't know. Me and you talk about this a lot. Me and you both like to wait until it's freaking official, but I hope he does pick BVB.
I do too.
I don't want him to go to Arsenal, man. God, dude, you're going to just rot away, man. I don't want to see that. God, someone already has a Gyurcsány welcome to Borussia Dortmund video released 3 hours ago. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's how crazy it gets, man.
And it's not about like, I just feel like he would be lost in the shuffle at Arsenal. You know?
Yeah, man. We saw what happens with Pierre and what happened with Lacazette. You don't want to see Gyurcsány get lost in that. You really don't.
If he went there, it'd be a good signing for Arteta. I mean, it really would be.
No, of course.
And they do need a number nine in the worst sort of way.
Big time.
They need a number nine in the worst sort of way. And really, honestly, there's not much better than him on the market. In terms, and especially for the price,
17, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane that release clause is so unbelievably low. You know, anybody can afford him. Yeah. Anybody really can afford
him. Begs the question, who set that at 17? Like
Stuttgart did.
Like, God, man.
Stuttgart set it that low. Stuttgart set the transfer fee that low. I mean, there's nothing and nothing you can do. But they did it for, you know, like Stuttgart. We talked about this a show or two ago about Stuttgart can be pillaged because, yes, they sign everyone to extensions. Undav and Valdemar Anton looks like he's going to Dortmund too. So, I mean, and what's funny is Dortmund, I saw a Dortmund supporter this week talking about he actually doesn't want Valdemar Anton and Gyurcsány, and they were talking about even another player. Because he said that's like 2013 Bayern level crap.
Here it is, 2 hours ago, exclusive. Gyurcsány to Borussia Dortmund, here we go. It's official. So it is official.
Okay, that's what I thought.
As of 2 hours ago, he has now made his decision, and he is going to Borussia Dortmund. BVB have received the green light from player side after working on this deal for months. Gyurcsány has accepted, and formal steps will follow. BVB will pay the release clause of 17.5 to Stuttgart. So Stuttgart, welcome to the basement of your group stage in Champions League.
Man, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bloodbath. They're going to get pillaged.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this goes back. I mean, we could talk about this in the coming months, but Nick, we've said this. What is the point other than money? What is the point of making the Champions League if you're one of these teams that 3 years ago were fighting for relegation? Or actually, that was 2 years ago, the season before last. They stayed up because they won the playoff, right?
Yeah.
And what is the point of you making the Champions League, finishing second place, only to see every single contributing member of that squad be picked off in the summer? And you're going to come back next year with basically the bones of
it. Yeah, with nothing. It makes no sense, man.
No. And you can't. And Guirassy is worth so much more than $17 million.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's what's crazy, that they set it that low, I guess. I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, they were in that relegation battle, so.
But that's a great signing for Dortmund, I'll say that.
Yeah, good. Good for them. I mean, you got Fulkrug still. You got Guirassy. Yeah, so. So maybe they can do something with it, you know?
They have Guirassy, they have Fulkrug, and
they have a few of the other young players. Chelsea just signed Barcelona's young star. They got him for pretty cheap. He's the young kid, and Chelsea also signed the Palmeiras winger for $34 million, so he'll be coming after next season from Palmeiras. And really, man, I mean, it's just all a bunch of chatter at the moment.
Market value for Guirassy right there, $40 million.
Yeah, $40 million.
They're getting him for a absolute steal.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, just
contract is good through June 30th, 2026 at Stuttgart, man. Yeah. He had two more years.
Yeah.
Two more years and he is gone.
Yeah.
And let's since we're on the topic, we can look at this. Let's look at Antone. So Valdemar Antone, he looks like also look him up. I think he's. I'm almost positive he's going to Dortmund.
What's his name?
Valdemar Antone. W A L D E M E R. And then A-N-T-O-N. Antone is his last name.
Yeah, the center back for...
Yeah, for Stuttgart.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not... Oh, yeah, it says BVB set to sign him too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, it says it's not final, but they're set to sign him for $24 million. So it's funny, Stuttgart are going to lose their two best players, and they're only going to get... $40 million. That's crazy, man.
Mercy, man. He's on the national team.
Liverpool miss out. Yeah, they said Liverpool could have gotten him.
He's on the national team right now. He's playing in the European Championship.
Yeah.
And it says right now his market value is $20 million, but he was on the team of the season in the Bundesliga.
No, yeah,
also, by the way, he is the captain of Stuttgart. So they're gonna lose their captain 2 years in a row.
Yeah. He has a 22.5 release clause from Stuttgart. His release clause was more than Guirassy's.
Again, that's nothing.
Yeah. 22 is not an absolute thing. Not in today's market. So, yeah, that's definitely a little bit on the crazier side. Stuttgart are just going to be screwed as far as.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it goes.
We'll get a Union Berlin repeat.
Yeah, sadly, we will. I told you when this fairy tale started, I said to you, Stuttgart are going to make Champions League. I think I said this in December or January. It was way before they actually did. I just said, look, you look at the Bundesliga this season, and as long as they can stay within the top four, and hell, we didn't even know at the time, top five.
Yeah.
Top five gets you there because of the coefficient. Stuttgart are going to make the Champions League for the first time since what, 2009, 2010, whatever it was, and they're going to fall out because everyone's going to say what got you there, and you look at the players that got them there, and they're all on these cheap release clauses, and I told you they're going to get picked apart, like a turkey on Christmas Day.
Yeah, we thought
the buzzards have been flying around. Yeah. Circling the carcass of Stuttgart for months now, And now they're going in to strike. They're getting that meat off the bone. And there it is. Yeah. Antone going to door. But you know what this reminds me of? It's so funny because Bayern has done the same thing to Dortmund so many times, and now Dortmund's doing it to Stuttgart.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No.
No, it's just so
well, funny. Czech just got a red card, so Turkey should be able
they're
to
done.
Finish them off.
Yeah, they're done.
Czech, Barak, the midfielder from Fiorentina, just got his second yellow in the 20th minute. So what a complete idiot. If they crash out, which they should, then he should be blamed. I don't care. You shouldn't be an idiot in a match that matters this much. Two yellows. He got one in the 11th and his second in the 20th. So 9 minutes later, he makes another idiotic tackle.
Yeah.
So there you go, man. Yeah. So as we're speaking live, it looks like Turkey will finish him off. Let's see if they can. So, yeah, man.
So that means right as of right now, Portugal advance, Georgia advance, and Turkey advances.
Yeah, as of right now, if it stood exactly how it is, Turkey would get second place, Czechia are out, Georgia would get the third place ranking.
Yeah, four points.
Yep, 4 points, and 4 points I think is
just enough
to get them in.
Yeah.
If Georgia make the playoff, what a freaking crazy
That might actually be the surprise.
Yeah, no one had Georgia doing anything, but I mean, holding on against Portugal will be difficult. Portugal have had a few chances since they have scored.
It will be difficult, yeah.
Yeah, Ronaldo actually hit. He fired his Ronaldo had a free kick that almost scored. The keeper had a miraculous save.
I thought you were going to say he fired one of his staff members.
Yeah, well, that would be – yeah. So, yeah, man, excitement as we record, man.
Yeah.
So,
all right. I
think by this time next week we'll have playoff set. Yeah,
we'll be in them.
Yeah, that's right.
They'll play them. They're starting them
this weekend.
Yeah, they're already. It's going to be started.
Okay, so we will be in the. We'll be going into the quarters by the time we record Wednesday.
Yeah, the quarter will be quarterfinals will be
actually being played.
Yes,
probably
will be in play, and for the Copa, it'll be this time next week. We'll be starting
the last matches,
quarterfinals. Actually, quarterfinals, not round of 16, but the quarterfinals. Okay. Yeah. So we'll be in the knockout stage, well within the knockout stage this time next week for both of them. And we'll have a much clearer picture of who's for real and who's pretending and who is contending.
And then the show after that, we'll be able to do the Euro champion. And then,
we'll be able to predict the finals for both and, you know, see if Old Glory, Old USA can bring one home. I'm just kidding. But anyways, it'd be nice. It'd be nice. That would be first ever Copa America. That'd be nice. But anyways, man, let's turn the lights out unless you have something else. Yeah, all right. Well, hey, everybody, thank you so much again for all the support. Please leave us, if you can, a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. Love to hear from you too. Yeah. You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. And we love and appreciate you all. And again, thank you for listening. We will talk to you all again next week.